Our lesson tonight is out of the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, the godly versus socialistic use of material resources. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37, is often believed to reflect the ideology and practice of Marxism. In fact, there are many people in liberal Protestant churches, and I think even a number of communists in Russia will claim that there is a close affinity between Christianity and Marxism because of this idea of sharing of the goods that occurs in Acts chapter 4. Well, we view the passage for insight because there's a tremendous difference between biblical Christian love and unity and Marxism. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. And the multitude of them that believed in Jesus were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that anything of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, that's material lack, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses from time to time sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid the money down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto each man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was nicknamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted means the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, Marxism promotes the forced, notice the emphasis on forced, the forced abolition of private property by the government, regardless of what affliction it causes the owners. I get this directly from LearnUSA.com. They have the goals of the Communist Manifesto, 1848. Remember, Friedrich Engels and Karl Marx co-authored that particular piece, the Communist Manifesto. However, what is described as having occurred in the early church in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37, greatly contrasts with Marxism, both in ideology and also in practice. Opposite a Marxist arrangement where the haves are forcibly made to lose their possessions by the government for the benefit of the have-nots, what violates the Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 prohibition against stealing and causes the haves to become angry and hurt, the early church believers were of one heart and soul in complete, willful, spiritual unity. That type of unity does not occur in a communist nation. It isn't. In a communist nation, it's, believe it or not, it's every person for himself. In fact, one of the problems they had in Russia many years ago is that they were having difficulty getting people motivated to go out and work on the collective farms because there was nothing in it for them. They just had to do that because the government wanted it. And when people started having farms of their own in their backyards and selling the produce, all of a sudden the productivity went way up. And that's actually what kept the Russians in food for a while, is this capitalism at the local level. But here the believers, they were not disunified. They were completely unified. There was no pressure on people having their goods confiscated. That wouldn't have produced happiness at all. Then opposite a Marxist arrangement where the haves chafe under the government's forced confiscation of properties, early church believers did not claim anything as being their possession. Now this practice did not occur later in churches elsewhere in the Roman Empire. You look at 1 Timothy 5:8. If a man doesn't take care of his own family, he's worse than an unbeliever. So each man was required to take care of, earning the money and taking care of his own family. However, the believers, right after Pentecost in Jerusalem, practiced this because they expected the Lord to return soon and establish his kingdom. And that's why they thought, well, why hold onto this property? If the Lord's coming back in a week or two, these people need it. So they would sell their property. And after a while, they realized, you know, the Lord might not be coming back quite as that fast. So they changed their practice in time. That's why later in time, the Apostle Paul got on people because they were freeloading off of other people instead of working for a living. So things changed later on. But even here in the early church, when they thought the Lord was coming back in perhaps a matter of days, they weren't actually Marxist at all. Then opposite a Marxist arrangement where goods are forcibly confiscated by the government from the haves, owners of property willingly shared their material goods with fellow believers. That's very interesting. Acts chapter 4, verse 32c says that they all had things in common. Neither said anyone that they ought had things that belonged to themselves. Then opposite godless Marxism that extols the major sins of covetousness, in Exodus 20:17, it says that covetousness is a sin, and theft, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. See, Marxism violates two of the Ten Commandments. It violates the commandment against covetousness. It violates the commandment against stealing, because it forcibly takes from the haves because of lust and covetousness and gives to the have-nots. As forcibly promoted by totalitarian leaders, early church believers enjoyed the blessing of seeing their spiritual leaders witness of Christ's resurrection with God's great gracious power. Now, I have yet to see a communist country where the leaders are witnessing powerfully of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've never known of that. It's the opposite. They're godless. They're atheistic for all practical purposes. But here, the leaders of the church enjoyed tremendous gracious power from God, and the people basked under their ministry as they witnessed to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then opposite a Marxist arrangement where the needs of many are nevertheless often not fulfilled, none of the believers in the early church lacked in material possessions. You'll notice verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Now I'll tell you what, if you go to Venezuela today, which has a Marxist ideology, there are a lot of people that lack, because there's a breakdown in the distribution of the goods, because what happens, the leaders hoard a lot of it. And that's what happens. You have an oligarchy at the top that gathers this, and they become extremely wealthy at the cost of the poor people under them. This did not occur in the early church. In the early church, if there was anybody that lacked anything, they provided that, and the apostles saw to it that they had their needs met, and they were very, very concerned about this. So that's very opposite Marxism. Then opposite a Marxist arrangement where corruption and greed are often the cause of an inefficient distribution of confiscated goods, in the early church from time to time, owners of fields or houses would sell them and bring the monetary proceeds from the sale to the properties of these properties, and they would lay them down at the apostles' feet. Notice this is a free giving. I don't see anybody willingly selling his property in a Marxist country and coming and laying the financial proceeds at the feet of the leaders. No way. They take it themselves. But in the early church, they were willingly giving. So in great efficiency, these godly men, these apostles, would distribute the monies out to individuals according to their individual needs. So individuals didn't have needs. Now we see a lot of this happening even in our church. Sometimes people come through a situation, a crisis of some sort. People just gang up and say, okay, what can we do to help? You know, let's say there's been a fire, or maybe there's been a flooding of some sort in their houses. What can we do to help? Do you guys need clothes? Do you need food, whatever? And we have a food pantry, and that's met the needs of people who are in need. That's what really should be happening, but that's not what happens under Marxism at all. Also, an encouraging example of this occurred to is mentioned actually by Luke in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 to 37. This is a tremendous example that was given here by Barnabas. The Mosaic law prohibited Levites from owning land outside of their houses and the pastures needed for their animals, for they were supposed to spend time studying scripture while living off of the tithes of Israel's other tribes. We get this from Numbers 18, verses 20 and 24, Numbers 35, 1 to 8. And then Malachi 2, 4 to 7, they were supposed to spend their time studying Scripture. See, everybody else was working out in their farms. They were working out with their cattle, trying to produce cattle or sheep, or they would be sowing the grain and harvesting, so they'd be working 8 hours a day. The priests were not supposed to do that. Levites were supposed to be doing what pastors do today. They were supposed to be studying Scripture and becoming experts in the law. And they had these priests in the priestly cities scattered, the 48 of them, scattered throughout the land of Israel so that you were within 15 miles of a city of experts of Scripture. And so that was supposed to help the people. If you had a question about the law, you just make a trip over to the closest priestly city and you have a whole city of experts who are supposed to be spending their time 8 hours a day studying Scripture. Boy, that's what we need to do. We need pastors doing that today. But that's what they would do. So, since that's what their job was, they had to depend upon the tithes of everybody else to provide for their livelihoods. Now, they had animals, and they had carts, they had to pull them, so the animals needed a place where they had to pasture, so there were pasture lands right around the outside of these cities. I think it was about 1,000 square feet or 1,000 cubits or some, all the way around the circumference of the city. And in that area, the priests were able to keep their sheep and their cattle, the animals that they needed for milk and for meat. But beyond that, they were not spending their time working. So this man, a Levite, Joseph, who was also called Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, owned land on the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Sea. And since that land was not in Israel, Jewish leaders may have thought that it was lawful for him to own. Apparently, there was no hackles raised in the Scriptures about this Levite owning this property. But what's amazing is that a Levite who lived just on tithes, and he had a very low cash flow, would be able to save up and invest so he could actually buy property. That was very unusual. And yet this man did that. But regardless, Barnabas sold that land that he'd probably worked very hard to be able to save up and buy. And he brought the money from the sale and he laid at the apostles' feet for distribution to needy believers. And for a Levite to sell what property he possessed, what had likely involved much effort for one who had been restricted to living off of tithes, then to accumulate the monies needed to make such a purchase, would have greatly encouraged other believers due to the evident personal sacrifice that was involved. This would be like a person that we knew who had had a job, just an average job, not paying highly, coming and selling and giving his life savings in this situation to the Lord. This would have been an incredible encouragement to other people. And it would have been an example to people who had more money than he did. Significantly, nothing about Barnabas' act reflects a Marxist forced distribution of one's possessions. Isn't that something? They never thought of Marxism at that particular point. This is a man who sacrificially gave of himself and gave of his finances so that other people who were needy could find their needs met. That's biblical Christianity. So the early church's sharing of goods was not based on Marxist ideology where such sharing is forced in the sins of covetousness and stealing. It was a willful sharing that carefully distributed goods to those in need. So may we not condone the forced distribution of wealth, but the willful sharing of wealth and godliness. It's interesting that even sometimes here at Nepog, I know there's a saying in Maine, you have to keep the doors of your car locked when you go shopping, otherwise you're going to come back and you're going to find it full of zucchini. But sometimes that occurs even at Nepog Church. I've seen there have been times people will bring, the Slate family and so forth, they'll bring in, boxes full of tomatoes and cucumbers and stuff all over the place. And they almost practically beg people to take it and go because they're just, and that's wonderful. This also happens with paper goods. I think it's been years since our treasurer has said anybody has asked money to purchase paper goods. When there is a shortage, people just show up. There are some people that always keep it in mind that they're watching out for the toilet paper, for the paper towels, paper plates, cups, whatnot. And when they have an opportunity, they go ahead and purchase these. One of the ladies in our church has a special credit card, and she has extra points that build up, and she will use those extra points on the credit card to get things like that for the church. So it's not out of any cost to her. It's amazing. So there are all sorts of things that people do, and it's such a blessing to see that happening. Sometimes the need appears, and three or four people one time see the need, so all of a sudden we go from hardly any paper towels to, you know, five or six bunches that are full of six to eight, sometimes even 12, and it's hard to put all the rolls in there, so we have to wait a couple of months to use them up. But the Lord blesses, and that's the way life should function. That's the way God wants us to function. It's so very, very different from Marxism. Marxism is forced, and you know, we can actually apply this. Sometimes I think many times in churches there's a legalistic form of kind of a Marxism where pastors get up and they put guilt trips on people and pressure them. You got to give because we're high on our giving and so forth. And that's, I really believe that that is something that is abusive. What we need to do is make giving something that is a joy. And we've sought to do that at Nepog Church. We let people know the boxes are back there. We don't have a certain time in the service where everybody has to get up and file by the boxes. Sometimes there are churches that do that. We just leave them back there and seek not to pressure people at all and allow giving to be a blessing, and it's a joy. So that's the way it should be giving. Yes, we need to meet needs of people, and it's good to meet needs of people around us without, of course, we don't want to aid and abet people who just want to live off of others. But if sometimes there are genuine needs that show up, yeah, God wants us to dig down and help these people. But what God wants us to do is to work like the early church did, possess the property that we have, but when we see that there are needs around us, the love of Christ can motivate us, and not somebody else force it from us.